Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a low of 67 and a south wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy. Again, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Warmer, the high in the upper 80s with a southwest wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday night and Sunday, mostly cloudy with yet another chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low Saturday night will be around 70, the high Sunday in the upper 80s. At noon Central Time, Rockford reported 75 degrees, O'Hare 73, at Bloomington 79, Mattoon 81, Carbondale 86. At South Bend, 69, Lafayette and Indianapolis reported 81 degrees, and at Terre Haute, 82. Sunshine was reported across much of the two states. Willard Airport reported 81 degrees at the top of the hour, the sky sunny. The dew point, 58. The relative humidity, 45%. The wind out of the west at 14 with gusts to 20. And the barometric pressure, 29.84 and steady. And at 12:38 Central Time, 82 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. The sky, sunny. The term food desert has gained traction in recent years as a name for areas with a shortage of full-service food stores. Some of these food deserts can be found along Route 150 in Illinois, but it's not clear how big a role they play in the lives of people who struggle to get the food they need. As part of our series on life along Route 150, Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows reports on some areas that could be called food deserts.
There's a food shortage in the Piatt County town of Mansfield. The people there have enough to eat, but they have to travel to get it. Even the residents relying on this local food pantry for help.
Hey, ladies. How are you? I'm good. How you doing?
Once a month at the Blue Ridge Township Hall, the church-sponsored Martha's Cupboard distributes groceries to supplement the diets of low-income residents. Getting the rest of their food usually involves a five-mile trip or more to an out-of-town supermarket. Jason Pelt and his fiancée Josie Edmond make that trip regularly, and they say they are also helping friends who don't have transportation of their own.
Three other folks besides Jason, and
every now and then we get a friend of mine that comes over or calls us and says, I need a ride to the store. And she's more than willing to, you know, hop in the van and take off and let's go to the grocery store, you know.
Kenneth Nelson could use a ride. He arrived at Martha's Cupboard on foot. He's been on foot ever since his truck was impounded.
Whenever I have, like, spare cash at hand, I usually go across the street to the general store. Prices are outrageous there in comparison to, like, Walmart and Aldi's, but in a way it kind of averages out having to try and find a ride and pay gas money for someone to go in town to grab a few things I need.
With two small stores that sell food but no supermarkets, Mansfield fits the general definition of a food desert, a term describing one of the barriers to an adequate diet faced by low-income people. But not everyone thinks food deserts are a serious barrier. Craig Gunderson, a professor of agriculture and consumer economics at the University of Illinois, says most low-income Americans find their way to a full-service supermarket.
If you look at spending patterns of low-income households in the United States, virtually 80-plus percent of the dollars they spend is in supermarkets, other food dollars. Some or other, they're able to get to a supermarket. Maybe somebody has to make some more steps to get to a supermarket than in other areas, but still people are able to get to supermarkets in the main.
Gunderson says food deserts are only a minor contributor to the more widespread problem of food insecurity, the condition people face when it's a struggle to find or to pay for the food they need. That's the way things are now for Jamie Faulkner of Rantoul. Today she's at a laundromat on the northeast side of Urbana, an area that's been designated a food desert by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Faulkner lost her job, went through a divorce, lost her home, and now lives with a friend as she raises two teenage boys.
I started on food stamps in June of last year. I've also used food banks and stuff too at the different churches, and that's very helpful. I have pretty much learned to work it where I can make it. or be close to making it for the month. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way.
Faulkner says she avoids the smaller food stores, like the dollar store next door to the laundromat. Its small food section is typical of the grocery selection in northeast Urbana. Higher prices, plenty of snack foods, and no fresh meat or produce. While Jamie Faulkner may not shop at these stores, Brandon Moline of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District says that many people, especially young people, let their food agenda be set by the store that's easiest to reach.
People typically travel to the closest food options, especially people that it's the easier choice for them and they have a lack of resources. They will go to the closest place versus taking 2 hours out of their busy day to maybe catch two different bus lines to get to a large box grocery store that might have healthier choices.
In addition to Mansfield and northeast Urbana, other food deserts exist along Route 150. The USDA has found them in Bloomington and Normal, in a large rural area west of Paris, and across the state line in Terre Haute. But the exact definition of what constitutes a food desert varies among the people studying the issue, as do opinions about their impact. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
Reporter Pam Dempsey of CU Citizen Access contributed reporting to this story. To read and see more, visit willconnect.org and cucitizenaccess.org. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. We're here at the end of our fiscal year, and that ends on June 30th, and the money we have in the bank at that time is what we can spend on programming next year. And we're here today to close the gap in our membership goal. We have $211,000 to go. And I want to talk a little bit with my co-pitcher this afternoon, Amy Stewart Ray, about the work of our news department. We just heard a very fine report from Jim Meadows, who had help on the story, reporting it from Pam Dempsey of CU Citizen Access. This Route 150 project is a month-long effort on the part of the news department to travel U.S. Route 150 from the southeast in Paris, Illinois, in Edgar County to the north and west in the community of Leroy in McLean County. And we're meeting people along the way, and we're telling stories that we can all relate to. And this is listener-supported public radio, so the people who are doing this work are supported by listeners who call in or go online and make a pledge of financial support.
Absolutely, and I think it really proves the power of public radio, that combination of local news coverage, stories that you're not going to hear anywhere else that are right here, right in your backyard, in your community, combined with the national and international news that NPR and WILO provide to our audience, really is what public radio is all about. We'd like to encourage you to call now with your pledge of support. Please call 217-244-9455. Please call now instead of putting it off. That June 30th, end of our fiscal year deadline, is rapidly approaching, and your support is important right now more than ever.
Yeah. To do radio journalism, right, going back to our reporters and life on Route 150, to do this right, it really takes an appreciation and a respect for intelligence, the listeners' intelligence, and also the people that we are covering out in the communities that we serve. And to do that, well, it takes some resources. It takes some financial resources. And during this end-of-year membership drive, we hope you will take a moment and support this work. You can help us reach our goal with your pledge. Call 217-244-9455 with a contribution, or give online at willpledge.org. And we heard from a listener this afternoon, right, Amy?
Absolutely. We'd like to thank Cindy Walsh from Savoy. Cindy, thank you so much for your pledge of support for WILL. And we'd like to encourage anyone else listening right now, please call now or get on your computer, go to willpledge.org and make that pledge of financial support.
Because every pledge makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Your support is added to the contributions others have given, and all together we get the job done, right?
Absolutely.
So we're trying to raise $211,000 before the end of the fiscal year, which is looming. It is June 30th, and here we are in the middle of June, and the days are quickly winding down to that June 30th deadline. So we would love to have your support. We would love to add your pledge this afternoon to Cindy's and build some momentum here this afternoon on WILL-AM and online at will.illinois.edu. Giving online with a credit card is really quick. If this is your lunch break, you can do that very quickly if you're at the computer. Also, the phone call is very quick as well, and we accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. And we also have we have some ways of saying thank you other than thank you. We have some nice gifts to share with folks as well who pledge.
Absolutely. For a membership pledge of $52, we'd like to say thank you by offering you the WILL shopping bag by Chico. It is a bright mango orange color. It features the WILL logo in blue and white with the tagline, "Open up and say aha." The lightweight bag holds up to 25 pounds, but you can fold it down to a small little pouch, and it is our gift for your support with the pledge of $52.
Yeah, and it has a little clip on it, and so you could put that on your keychain or on your purse.
Absolutely. A little carabiner.
Yep, yeah, or you could throw it in your backpack or, you know, put it. It's so when it's all folded up, it'll fit in your pocket.
Yes, and it's great for, you know, if you're on the go. So many of us like to hit the farmers markets this time of year. It's perfect for farmers markets or, you know, if you're out and about, yard sales, garage sales, toting your goodies home. It's convenient. I have a couple of them myself, and they are handy, I must say.
So call 217-244-9455 with your pledge. Someone's ready to take your call right now. Also, anytime you'd like, join us at willpledge.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 16th of June, 2011. Today's Bloomsday, June the 16th. It was on this day, 1904. James Joyce and Nora Barnacle went on their first date. She was a chambermaid at Finn's Hotel in Dublin. She met Joyce a few days before. They took a walk together in Ringsend and may or may not have indulged in intimate things, but it was the start of a romance that would last for the rest of Joyce's life. And he commemorated the date in his novel Ulysses, a retelling of the Odyssey set in Dublin, all set on a single day, June 16, 1904. And the main character doesn't show up until the fourth chapter, which begins, "Mr. Leopold Bloom ate with relish the inner organs of beasts and fowls. He liked thick giblet soup, nutty gizzards, a stuffed roast heart, liver slices,